Hi, everyone. Welcome to a special bonus episode of Mentors on the Mic podcast. This episode is sort of inspired by what's going on right now. We have a lot of deadline articles for those of you in the industry, specifically involving casting directors and self-tapes. So we always had self-tapes. Auditions were always self-tapes and in-person auditions. And then when the pandemic hit, everything switched over to self-tapes. And while theater auditions have started to go back to in-person auditions, and film, TV, and commercial are primarily right now self-tapes, with the exception of maybe callbacks and chemistry reads, which are done sometimes in person or on Zoom or on EcoCast Live, the majority of auditions primarily are self-tapes. And there's just different sort of things going around right now. We're talking about self-tape privilege, which I'm going to go into in a bit, but it's the idea that there are some people who are able to afford better quality self-tapes, whether they go and hire places to help them produce it, or they have a self-tape studio. I mean, I've seen some self-tape setups that are amazing, right? Where entire rooms are devoted to self-tapes and the quality of the sound's amazing. We have mics, we have multiple lighting options and professional tripods and backdrops and different color backdrops. And someone like that has, you know, more privilege maybe than someone else who's in a small apartment in New York, for instance, and has to, you know, I mean, I have to sort of break down and set up every time I do an audition. And that's fine. I mean, but there's some people who can't even afford to get the lights and can't afford to get a backdrop. They just use, you know, the wall, or, you know, plain wall in the background. And so there's different setups, and there's a talk about privilege, and there's also talk about casting directors charging for specific services, right? You know, to record auditions and to offer, you know, feedback, because we're not getting any feedback as actors for these auditions. And so I made an Instagram reel. It's been shared, you know, 60 something times or whatever. I haven't looked at it in a while, and has had a few thousand views or whatever. And, you know, it's because I really want to do a panel. I want to host a panel of casting directors, actors, and agents and managers, where we talk about some of the stuff that's been going on, you know, since the pandemic started. A lot of casting offices are charging more and more for services, and a lot of people are really upset about it. So this particular episode is actually just a compilation of various casting directors talking about what they want, what they're looking for in self-tapes, right? And it's much more simple than you think, and it's nice to hear the reassurance. So not only did I compile some of the past episodes we've had with casting directors like Julie Tucker, Jenny Ravitz, Julie Schubert, Kim Graham, but I also have an upcoming episode with Maribeth Fox from Laura Rosenthal Casting coming this Monday. And I also asked her about self-tapes and her tips on self-tapes. And, you know, this was before all that came about, but she also mentioned self-tape privilege. So let's start off with Maribeth Fox from Laura Rosenthal Casting. The full episode will be available this upcoming Monday, the 13th. And yeah, I had this idea for this episode last minute, so forgive me for the transitions. I literally just had to record things in between clips, and normally I would do it much nicer, but I wanted to get this out this week. So thanks. And yeah, here we go. I did want to continue about self-tapes, because you brought that up as well. And the first thing actors always want to know, I'm sure you get this in Q&As all the time, is what are some self-tape tips that you have? What are things that you see all the time from actors in submitting roles and that you like? How much does obviously lighting and sound, like, do you get like really terrible? Sometimes that's the weird thing to me that I think to myself, because I know, I guess in my head, I know so many good actors and I know their self-tape setup is passable or doable. But I do hear that a lot from casting directors on the podcast, that they're just like, yeah, sometimes I have to try to blow out the sound because it's like, I can't hear it, or the lighting is so bad and I can't see anything. And I'm just like, who are these actors that are like,
Man.
Yeah, it is. You know, unfortunately, the bad news of the self-tape game is it's actually a question of privilege. Who can afford to go to B&H and bump up a sound system and pay the $40 for a chroma key backdrop? And so I always feel a little bit sensitive about the tech of it all because tech equals money. So I think what's most important is, and also actors have really figured it out during this global pandemic thing. Like the tech is so much better than it's ever been. And you touched on something really important where I need to be able to see you. That doesn't mean ring light. That could mean sunshine. I need to be able to hear you. And even more importantly, I need to hear your reader because your reader helps me out with the storytelling just as much as you do. But mostly that's in place. I think the thing that is kind of a new trend, and this is so subjective and 100% only my opinion, and the next casting director you interview might say differently, I think artists are getting a little bored. And so what I'm starting to see is almost people taking on the job of self-tape as a short film and, you know, being very literal, like, oh, this scene is in a kitchen, so I will tape in my kitchen. And the thing about that is, even though I've never gained an attention deficit disorder diagnosis and don't think I'm really prone to it, I think sitting in my Brooklyn bedroom all day long watching hours of self-tapes causes me to be distractible.
Right.
And I think that, you know, the addition of a lot of props, very literal wardrobe, moving, you know, I think the key to a really good self-tape is knowing that one side of your brain needs to be for self-tape. And one side of your brain needs to be how you'll do it when you have an awesome self-tape and you book the job and you're on the set. The movement should be really simple. The framing should be chest up and decent. The eye line, I need to see your eyes because I don't get a sense of your personality in the room anymore. And that's a real miss. You know, I don't get a sense of your whole body. All I've got is your eyeballs. And so actors are trying to like DP themselves and go into these like cheated profiles. I'm like, but I'm missing your work. Just have a good eye line, please. And then there's still really bold, amazing work that actors are doing, playful, curious choices. And I think you have to be extra brave these days as an actor to make those brave, bold choices because you're not getting instant feedback in a room. And because there's, you know, more and more, I'm sure you've experienced this, every script is becoming confidential.
Yeah.
And that's not a casting call. You know, that's other people way above our pay scale saying, oh, no, we cannot possibly release this low budget indie to the masses. And it's like, well, it's not Star Wars, so I think we're okay.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't give actors a tonal clue. So as an actor, if you don't have the background, how do you make those brave, playful, bold choices?
Yeah.
And not fear that someone's going to call you too big, theatrical, over the top, all the horrible things that actors are noted with. The tricky space.
The next clip is from an episode with Julie Schubert. Julie Schubert's known for House of Cards, Daredevil, The Departed. She worked on Manifest. She worked on For Life, Jessica Jones a little bit. So not a little bit, 26 episodes. And she's phenomenal. And so she, again, you can get the link in the show notes, but this is what she has to say about self-tapes.
Shermaine Johnson wants to know, what makes self-tapes stand out? Are there any like big do's and don'ts that you see?
No, I mean, honestly, in this time, I've seen all of the self-tapes. Yeah. And it really is just about the performance, the choices. And obviously, I do think, make sure your lighting is good.
Yes.
See your face. You're not washed out.
And right.
You have a note. I've seen a lot of tapes that end up being really washed out. So there's no features, and that's not good. But outside of that, you know, make sure it's like a headshot, not a full body or too far away. I need to see your eyes. But other than that, I'm cool.
Good. I love it. Because you know, we get a little wrapped up sometimes in the technical, and especially
So
good to know.
And watch it back. You'll know if it's a good tape or not. You know what I mean? I think a lot of actors send in their tape without looking at them.
Yeah.
And just take a look. You can tell in 2 seconds if it's good quality tape.
Just being able to see, make sure the lighting is good, super simple. And she said, you know, just watch it back. You'll know if it's good enough. You'll know that, like, if the performance there, which is the main thing. So the next clip is from Jenny Ravitz's episode. Jenny Ravitz has sort of famously worked on many of the Dick Wolf shows, Jonathan Strauss casting, including Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, Chicago PD,
She's worked on the FBI shows, FBI, FBI International, and even sometimes Law & Order, SVU. And she right now is on her own since that last episode aired, and she's doing lots of theater and wonderful stuff. And so here's what she has to say about self-tapes. And yeah, here we go.
I actually did over on the beginning of the pandemic, I did a self-tape do's and don'ts on my Instagram. So you can go to that and even check out my like ideas for solid self-tapes. But my big thing is we have to be able to see you and we have to be able to hear you. It is outrageous to me that sometimes I will get self-tapes where an actor is in total darkness and I can't hear them.
Yeah.
And I go into my like little editing software and I bump up the volume all the way. I can't send that to my team.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'll call the agent or the manager, the actor, and I'll say, hey, you have to redo this.
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, hey, well, when do you want it? I'm like, well, the deadline was an hour ago, so I need it in 5 minutes. You got to jump on this thing. And that might not be something that you can do. This self-tape just has to be a good enough quality. And of course, we're being forgiving of the fact that you don't have a film studio in your apartment. You know, some people are just taping against a blank wall and I'm totally okay with that, but we do need to see you, like turn on your lights.
Hearing you, seeing you.
Yes. And doing you, and understanding you. And I think the big thing is that everybody just wants to throw paint at the wall with these self-tapes and they don't take consideration into things like moment before. They don't take stock of where they are in the story. And if we're in the room together, I can remind you of those things, but you have to do a little bit more of that research and that care into your own scene work, because it can look really strange. I had a character at the very beginning of Chicago PD, and it was a dad whose daughter had been accidentally shot. And it literally, the first line of action read at the top of the side, like you could not miss it. It was right by start. It said, "The scene is still hot." Okay. So that says to me, like, scene is hot, and you know that there's ambulances and sirens and people crying, and you know it is loud and intense, and this is seconds after, you know, his daughter's literally being loaded into an ambulance, and that's how the scene starts.
Wow.
And I mean, some of these guys were reading it as if this happened 10 days ago, and they were the calmest, most even-keeled guys. And I was like, I knew that if I just got in a room with them and I said, hey, happens 30 seconds ago, they would change everything. But we didn't have that time for that adjustment.
Right.
But I knew if they'd just given a little bit more care, if they'd seen that the scene is still hot and really took into consideration what that meant, then they would have gotten the point of the scene. They would have gotten that story. And you have to be the storyteller.
All right. So you see, you know, she really didn't talk about like how well produced the self-tape is and how, you know, the backdrop needs to be a certain way. She's talking about the moment before. She's talking about technique. She's talking about performance again. Our next clip is coming from Julie Tucker of Tucker Meyerson Casting. They do a lot, both movies and television, including The Equalizer, Dexter, New Blood, Hunters, The Affair, Designated Survivor. The list goes on and on. And Julie was on last season, season 3, Mentors on the Mic. It's a great episode. And all of these episodes, the links will be in the show notes. So if you just want to go and listen to that, go for it. But this is Julie Tucker.
And some of it begins right now with the self-tape practice. All right. So like some of it starts with creating really good boundaries that you're not stopping in the middle of a take, getting through tapes, creating these habits that you're going to want from the room so that you're in that mindset and not allowing what you can do in a self-tape and get away with.
I love that.
Habits. So like, I always recommend when I'm teaching, like, okay, do 3 takes. That's it. Give yourself a boundary of 3 takes. Give yourself the boundary of making it all the way through a take, no matter what happens.
Yes.
Because auditions are all about recovery. Your work on set is all about recovery. And here's the thing. When you go back and look at that take, you might be like, oh, that mistake that felt whoa, was like, and the take was
so
gold.
Good.
So what happened in the room so much with me and actors is like actors would stop. I'd be like, why? You just stumbled a little bit. Like, it's like a little, of an ankle. Like, it's not even anything that anyone else would see except for you and me, because we're in sync at the moment. I mean, the take was gold. And then it's really hard, because it's really hard to then the actor to drop back in, you know, because the muscles, it's a muscle. It's a muscular thing in the body. So it's really important when people are doing self-tape that they hold that themselves at the same accountability that they would if they were in the room. So that's the work, you know, and it doesn't become, I mean,
that's a really good tip. It's a really good habit. You're right, for us to work on, because we have the luxury of being able to stop and start however much we want now, but like when it will go back at some point to in person, or even just when we have like the Zoom audition type things, right? Where you're just like, all right, this is live. This is as live as this can be in my home. There's still that, you know, you don't want to have that habit, like you said, of just wanting to stop and start, or feeling like internally we're doing something not the way we want it to, and then having that be something that debilitates your audition or takes you away from what you're doing. Because chances are no one else will realize that the whatever internally is going on in your mind, that you're like, I'm not nailing this, you know, like I'm not doing all the things I prepared. It's like, it's still fine. It's there.
Yeah, it's beautiful and interesting. And it's the process of self-taping, the process of Zoom, the technicalities of it engage another part of the brain and the nervous system. So one has to be really cognitive when we're in the brain about that.
Yeah.
And not get lost in that. And has to go back to know, what is my job as an actor? Okay, I've got like, and that's, you know, I'm a big believer in get your practice going, like have, like be on Zoom, you know, working with material on Zoom that the way you would do it as an actor auditioning. Do practice self tapes. You know, I love Audrey Helps Actors, another podcast, right?
Yes.
And she's got that great self tape May.
Love
and I think
it.
Exactly. I said, forget self, just all right. Self tape May is great. Do self tape May, but do it in like September, do it whenever it suits you. Because it engages the muscles so that you know what to do when the opportunity presents itself, because my vantage point has always shown me the opportunity presents itself. Very few are ready.
So these are actual tips, right? So it's not, again, about the quality of the self-tape and having to go to like an office and making sure it's the highest quality and it looks great. This is an actual tip, right? She says, practice your self-tapes, right? Practice them, do them for fun. Hi. So actually, I had to re-record this part. I had accidentally introduced in a transition Kim Graham to a clip made by Julie Schubert. So that pains me that I have to re-record this, but it's super important. And I feel terrible. And Kim actually listened to the episode, sent me an email, and was so sweet and gracious about it. And was just like, that's not my voice. I didn't say that. But whoever did say that was great. So I had to just rearrange a little bit and re-record this wonderful intro for Kim's clip, which I didn't include. So this particular clip that I want to introduce is from season one mentor Kim Graham, who not only cast me in Homeland, so I'm forever grateful for her for that, but also came on the podcast in season one. So she's an OG of Mentors on the Mic and was the first casting director that I asked and the first to come on the podcast. So she really means a lot to me and always will, which is why I wanted to re-record this for her. She deserves a better intro and a clip that is her voice. But this particular clip that I chose is important for self-tapes because it's all about slating. She taught me the most important thing that when it comes to slates, which is just do it, right? You don't need to make a whole thing about it. It doesn't require a hello, my name is. It doesn't require a funny thing. You know, some people are taught to like create like a joke out of it, or to create like something that rhymes with their name when they slate, or to make it more pronounced. And it really is just a very matter of fact thing. So I wanted to include it. Here's Kim Graham.
Or I just give you an adjustment.
You taught me slates. Just say your name and roll and move on. Or just say what they ask you to say. Do not have a whole, hi, my name is. I don't say hi, my name is anymore. I just say Michelle Simone Miller in the role.
Yeah, it feels confident, right? Like I feel like,
good afternoon. My name is Michelle. You know, I will be portraying the role. I'm like, we have so.
I can't.
I gotta hit the work, lady. Because, you know, same with self-tapes. It's like, and if you give that just your name and just the role or whatever it is, it just exudes a confidence.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, she's been doing this for a while. Like, she knows how this goes.
Love, Kim. Thank you so much. And our last and final clip is with Alison Kirshner, who has done so much. She's worked on The King of Staten Island. She's worked on Bros, the movie. She's worked on Crashing and The Big Sick and Inside Amy Schumer, and the list goes on. So she was on the end of our last season of season 3 of Mentors on the Mic. And she talks about like a lot of different things involving tips on how to make strong choices. I asked her specifically a question from a listener, and he asked about how, like, you know, in the room we're used to getting feedback, we're used to getting tips, we're used to getting adjustments, and what does it look like when we can't have that? And so she answers that just plain and simple.
Well, my only advice, I think, would be to just, if you aren't quite sure, it's always okay to send more than one take. If you want to send two different takes on the character. I think also there's just like, for me, I can only speak for me, there needs to be an understanding that like, if you come in and you make a wrong choice, that doesn't mean I'm discounting you. Like if I look at you and I see that potential of, but they're still right for the role, or they still gave a really good audition, I have no problem either A, having you get on a Zoom with me and we'll do a kind of a redo and together, or B, have just even send you notes to retape. Yeah. So like, I mean, I do that all the time. I you know, I'll be like, you know what? I love what you did. There's some things I want to work with you on. Can you hop on a Zoom with me tomorrow? I don't think actors should have to overthink it, and, you know, cause that's just going to drive you crazy. Like what do they want? And got to just make your decisions, maybe send two takes, but at the end of the day, just know, like, I mean, for me, I'm not discounting you if you just like made a wrong choice. It's more just, you know, oh, maybe you're just not right for the role.
Right.
But if you're right for the role, I'm going to work with you on it because I want to get the role cast with the right person. So
Any advice to actors about what works in terms of a strong choice? Like, is there anything that you've seen that people do well and you're just like, yes, this is something I recommend to people about making strong choices?
I think I'm in comedy, so that's very specific.
Yeah.
So for me, it's more just seeing somebody who made the right comedic choices. Maybe, you know, a lot of my projects, especially the Apatow projects, there's a lot of improv involved.
Yeah.
So if you're doing amazing improv, I think that's always just going to stand out for me. Yeah. And seeing somebody just confident in their choices. I think, yes, it's like, there's one part of it, like, what is the choice? But then there's also like confidence that has to be brought along with that choice. Yeah. I recently, this actress did this role, this audition, and oh my God, it was so funny. And she just made this choice. Like, she was like chewing gum really hard. She had this like ridiculous outfit on. She's like sipping this iced coffee. It was so over the top. It was so funny because she was so confident in that choice she made. And yeah, one other actor might do it. It might be too much. Right. But she did it. And I don't know, the confidence she brought to it, the comedy, the improv, it was hilarious.
So remember, what choices work for you, you know, may not work for other people. And what choices other people do might not work for you. Like in the case of that girl chewing gum, right? That's a strong choice. It worked for the character, it worked for her version of the character. But other people might be like, no, I can't pull that off, right? So a lot of it has to come down to you, not the lighting you use, not the sound, you know, the mic and the sound quality, not the backdrop that you have that other people have something better, or a self-tape setup that's better. It's about performance. It's about technique. And we got this, guys. And it's hard because we don't have that feedback, right? We don't know. We send, I was telling Mary Beth Fox in our interview that like, as an actor, it feels like we're sending off these auditions into the abyss. We don't get feedback. It's hard. But we have to just be really confident in ourselves and what we're doing and what we're bringing, and just work with that. All right, that's it for now. Guys, feel free to revisit these episodes because they do give more tips to actors about self-tapes, about work, about the material, about how to approach things. And that's what we need to do. We need to look at these people like educators and have them teach us about audition technique and learn about their preferences. And these episodes will do that. We'll learn about their preferences and what they're looking for and about them. And then use that for our own work and, you know, take acting classes. I say that knowing that right now I'm not in acting class. So I know I have to do that too. And guys, just best of luck. Break a leg, all of you guys, and all these auditions. And we got this. And yeah, thanks for listening. Thank you so much for listening to Mentors on the Mic. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a friend in entertainment you know would love it. Let me know what you've learned or what stayed with you on our Instagram at Mentors on the Mic. I love reading your messages. You can also find me at Michelle Simone Miller on Instagram. On both accounts, I'll be sharing even more information about our mentors. Talk to someone about what you learned today who would really appreciate it and send them the episode. Also, if you love the show, please go ahead and leave us a rating and review on iTunes. It really makes a huge difference in growing this. It makes it easier for people to find our podcast, and I love reading your reviews. So thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.